I want to, if the Lord will bless me this morning, to speak to you about mothers. I want to read out of Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1, 2, and 3. It says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest be long upon the earth." Now, that is a quote from Exodus chapter 12, I mean chapter 20, which is one of the Ten Commandments. In Exodus 12, that's the fifth commandment. It says, "Honor thy father and thy mother." Now, some folks think that honor your father and your mother means just as long as you live with them. That's not the way it is. And it says that your days may be long upon the earth. You know, if our children would just take heed to that part, it says, "Children, obey your parents, for this is right." It's right to do this. Now, if it's right, and God put it in his book and said it's right, then it's wrong not to, isn't it? And children, there's a lot of, that's one of the things that Timothy writes about. He said in the last days that they shall be disobedient to parents and so forth, and doing all the things. And there is so much disrespect, in my mind, to parents by their children these days. But the point, it says, "Honor thy father and thy mother." This is something I believe that is something that we do as long as we're on earth. And there's a text that I want to read to you, one or two more. And this is over in 2 Timothy. Now, Timothy was his dad, Timothy's father, natural father, was a Greek. And his mother was a Jew. And, you know, the scripture says that we're to bring our children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And he says, when they're older, they won't depart. Well, sometimes children depart. But when you bring them up to know God, and, you know, we can't teach children to know God. We can teach them about God. And then the Lord, if the Lord identifies himself to them, then the teachings that the parents did to the children while they were young and growing up will stick with them. But I want to read to you out of the book of Timothy for just a minute, and then we're going to get along with something else. The Apostle Paul, he says, "To Timothy, my dearly beloved son." I want you to think about that. Was Paul his dad? Not physically, not naturally, but to Timothy, my dearly beloved son. Now, I could say, our brother Bill McCarthy, and there's others that I've had as fathers in the ministry, but brother Bill could call me son, and I call him father, because he's always been my father in the ministry. When a young man comes along and he begins to exercise and read the Word of God and to preach, he needs a father to guide him along. And Brother Bill has been that to me. But here, Timothy was the son of Paul in the faith. Okay? And he says, "To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace and mercy and peace from God our Father and Christ Jesus our Lord." He said, "I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day." Now, naturally speaking, when we think about a mother, they're always thinking about their kids. No matter where they are, they're always thinking about them. And when they're thinking about them, they're wondering what they're doing, wondering or hoping or they're okay. But mothers, there is something about a child and a mother that, I mean, there is something that is just so close together that a mother is always thinking about her children. And Harriet, these are your baby girls. I mean, Dean, these are your girls that you raised up as babies. And they'll always be your little girls. I have a daughter that's 42, and she's still my baby. And she always will be. But mothers, there's something about a mother, and especially mothers and daughters. There's just a relationship there's nothing closer than a love of a mother and a daughter. The closest thing you'll find to that is the love of God to his children. Because mothers are always looking after their kids. And Paul said, I have great remembrance of you. Now, and I want us to think about here that Paul was not with Timothy here. He's writing this letter to him. Paul perhaps is in prison, I don't know, in Rome. But anyway, he's writing this to Timothy as his young minister son in the faith. And he says, I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers. How many of us think about our forefathers? Our fathers that have gone before us. You know, Brother Keith, I can look out, especially there at Oklahoma City, I can look out and I can see, well, there's where George and Sarah Russell used to sit, and there's this one, and there's it. Every one of these places that are empty, I remember one of our forefathers sitting in. Last Sunday, I had the great privilege of being in communion service with Brother Bill McCarthy. Now, I know at least one year and two before that, that Brother Bill was not able to be there. To have him sit there at that table and minister the communion service was so special to me. But then I look back and I think about other forefathers. But when we think of forefathers, we're thinking about four, of course, before. Fathers that have gone on before. Brother Harry was one of those. And Brother Tom Whaley. Wonderful. Wonderful memories of these brethren in the faith. But when we think about the forefathers, what do we think about when we think about forefathers in America? Aren't you thankful to God that we had somebody that was willing to stand up on the principles of this book and write things and put things in motion? This nation is built upon the Judeo-Christian relationship with God. And when we start departing from those principles, then the nation goes downhill. But you know where it starts? It starts with this mother right here. With these mothers that are here. You know, they've always, I know you've heard this before, that the hand that rocks the cradle will rule the nation. And there is so many of our mothers that I want to think about, but I want you to think here about this. Now, Paul says, I greatly desire to see you. And if you've never, and have you ever just been so long? And when I heard that Carol and Harriet were bringing Dean up here, I've been anxiously thinking about your visit. I greatly desired to see you. I greatly desire to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. Now, tears, you know, we sing that song, Sister Joe, that tears wash our eyes. Tears are given. I believe that God gives us tears to wash the soul. Sometimes we get so much pain in our heart that we just, I mean, it feels like it's going to explode. I believe that if we, as especially as God's children, can learn to let it go, and there is nothing shameful about shedding tears. Jesus wept at the grave of Lazarus. And the Apostle Paul, in his writings, he said, sorrow not as others which have no hope. There is a sense in which we, as the children of God, and there's so many things that, what do we weep over? You know, do we weep over, you know, the scripture says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. We, as God's children, well, when we're talking about poor in spirit, we should be weeping. There should be things that in our soul that grieves us because of our disobedience to our God. Weeping over our sins. But the apostle says, I greatly desire to see thee, being mindful of your tears. You know, this last letter that Paul is writing here to Timothy is a book, a letter of encouragement. He says down in this previous, he said, Timothy, don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. That's what he says in verse 8. Be not ashamed of the testimony nor of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel with the power of God. Sometimes in this world, and sometimes the things of our family and things that just break our hearts, and Judy has rightly said this to me, you get too involved in the political process and it takes away your joy. But I do have great sorrow for our nation. It's in great trouble. It's in great turmoil. And unless God brings us back to the principles of this book, we're done. The scripture says the nation that forgets God, he will turn them into hell. And you know, this is one of the things that I remember Brother Bill McCarthy gave me, he read to me out of this book. And it talks about the great nation of Russia. It was a great power, great world power. And one of the authors said, what happened to our nation? And the answer was, we forgot God. Well, when we as a family, you know, that's one of the things there's some of these TV shows that I really are my favorites. One of them is about Blue Bloods. You may not watch it, but I like Blue Bloods. And the reason I do is because it's a family show. And before the show is over, they're always sitting down at the table and they're always sharing things with each other, and they have prayer and they talk things over at the table. And families are so important. And it's a wonderful thing, Harriet, for you to be able to bring your mama to this church. It's a great thing to me to have you here. But most of all, I want you to think about, and I don't know, did I say Happy Mother's Day to you yet? Happy Mother's Day, Joe. Happy Mother's Day, hon. And Sister Carol, you have a blessing today. You have your daughter, your granddaughter, that's your granddaughter, your great-granddaughter. Now listen to what Paul says about that. He said, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in you, Timothy. Unfeigned, that means without hypocrisy. That means no changing. It is genuine and sincere. The scriptures teach in Hebrews, it says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. If you don't have faith, and by the way, if you don't have faith, you can't go out somewhere and just get faith. Faith is not a product you can go to the store and buy. But faith is a fruit of the Spirit of God. Now, I've heard people say, well, if you'll just do this and this and just step out on your faith. Well, if you don't have faith, how can you step out on something you don't have? So faith is a gift from God. By grace are you saved, he says. Through faith. By grace are you saved through faith, and that's not of yourself. It's a gift of God. That's anyone should boast. And so when we think about faith, And when we think about what the Apostle Paul says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in you. Now, remember, Paul here is writing, I don't know where he is, but he has such a, this is the relationship that he has for this young man. It's so sweet and special. And I can own, and if you've never had, I cannot grab a hold of, I cannot imagine living in this world without Bill McCarthy. I just can't wrap my mind around that. But I know that one of these days I'm going to have to give him up. But he's my father. And he and I have traveled thousands of miles together. We never get tired of being together. I mean, people said, y'all just... And when we get home, Brother Keith, we think we're trying to think of another trip that we could take. And we don't really care about where we're going. We just want to be together because we love each other. And it's such a blessing to me to be able to have him still with me. And I want you to see that love and compassion, that wonderful expression of just genuine affection that Paul had said, oh, I'd love to see you, son. I want to see you. But he says, and this is what we have to do. We have to live on our memory sometime. My mom's been dead 10 years. I still have her picture on my desk. This morning I moved it out to our counter. And Judy's mother, you see, I've had two mothers. Very sweet. I don't know if you remember Judy's mom. So sweet, Carol. Sister Precious, Letitia Morissette. But some guys don't even have one, but I've had two moms. She lived with us 7 years. And she had dementia. But you know, the last thing that, and I'll share this with you, the worst thing that I ever remember Letitia saying to Judy is, you're just getting awful bossy. You know, it was a joy to have her. But I have my mom's picture over here and Letitia over here, and in the middle here is Judy's Mother's Day cards from Sherilyn and Chuck. We have to have our memories. You having good memories? You know, I say, oh, I miss my mom so much. But you know what? I can just call her right back up and remember the beautiful things. Judy wrote a poem to her mom at her funeral, and prior to her funeral, about all the things. I wish I'd brought it out or read it to you, but all the expressions of love, the things that you have, that your mom has done for you, and all the times that you've been together. You know, when everybody forsakes you, nobody else. I'm talking about, if I don't care what you do, there is a sad thing for a child to get into trouble. And to go into the prison system or whatever. But you know what? Even no matter what that child did, that mother still loves that child, no matter what. And it's almost a godly love that only, it is an expression that only a mother can have for her child. Hi, Mom. Dean, you're my mom. You're my mom in Israel. You're my mom in so many ways. And it's a blessing. I hope y'all don't mind me talking to Dean. She is so sweet to me. But listen, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother, in thy grandmother Lois, in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that's in you too. Now, when you think about this, here he goes back to the mother. And he's not, Brother Keith, he's not talking about that Greek, that grandmother here is not his father's mother. It's his mother's mother. Which is, there's something here about the faith that people have in God, and it's a mutual thing. You see, we share something that is so precious here. And that's why the apostle said, he talks about the mutual faith that we have. There is something that there is a binding together of unity when we can believe in the same God. And when we can believe the same principles. Harry believed in salvation by grace. I remember, Carol, I don't know if you remember this, but at Harry's funeral, what a blessing it was for you to come to me and say, wow, never heard such a thing as that. Not too long after that, I was baptizing her. There's something about sharing a love if you have God in your heart. You know, but I want you to see, he said, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting of my hands. He is saying, Timothy, you have a great legacy. I want you to think about your legacy. Woo! How far you go back? Your great-grandpa, probably. I mean, you go back to your grandpa West, and then back probably before him and before him. You see, he talks about forefathers. These are the things that we pass these things on from one generation to another. And the greatest blessing. That's your great-granddaughter, isn't it? That's your great-granddaughter? That's three generations here, before you think about it, of people. Because of the faith that God has given to you, you pass it on to them and down through the line, and here we are together today in this little church. Joe, this is so sweet. And in another, I thought I had it down here, but he says, Timothy, from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Ye were taught these things from a very young age. And anyway, he says, I want you, my instruction is that you hold fast these form of sound words which thou hast heard of me, and in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Now, when we think about mothers, and I've only got about 20 more minutes, but I want to think of another mother. I want to think of another mother, probably the greatest mother that ever lived on earth. You ever think about a mother that's greater than any other mother? Her name was Mary. She was the mother of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to think about the relationship that Jesus and Mary had together. I want to read a little bit, I'm going to try to quit at 12. There's a, you know, we hardly ever talk about the birth of Christ except once a year maybe. But I want to talk a little bit about that this morning, very briefly. And I don't really know where to begin. We have, how many of us ever heard of a guy named John the Baptist? Never heard of him? Well, you see, he was sent by God to be a forerunner of Jesus Christ. And we find the story about Zacharias as he was in the temple there. He was an old man. And Elizabeth was an old woman, and they didn't have any children. And Zacharias was in the temple there, and he began to pray as his tradition was. And I want to find that. Okay. Okay. According to the custom of the priest's office, his job was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. That's the time of the prayers and so forth. He said, and there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing in the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. And the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear a son, and you shall call his name John. I mean, here they, who gave him his name? God. This is an angel of God. Not only are you going to have a son, they didn't have the ultrasounds back in them days. So Elizabeth, she knew it wasn't going to be a girl, and she knew the name wasn't going to be Zacharias or Jeremiah or one of these other prophets' names. His name is going to be John. All right? And this is the, we talk about unbelief. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. Can you imagine that? This is a little baby. And even when he's in his mother's womb, he's going to be born to the Spirit of God, if I can say that in that way. He's going to know God before he's actually born of his mom. And I love to talk about this because people talk about when exactly is a child a child? When is a child a viable child? You know, all the way. I mean, how many trimesters up, and they can? It's so evil what they're doing to little babies nowadays. But a child, I want you to understand that life begins at conception. When the seed of the father and the egg of the mother come together, there is a union that takes place, and the next thing that's formed is blood, and this baby begins to grow. And this baby, by the way, we're going to find out, was 6 months old when this very thing happened. He said, well, how do you know that, brother? Well, I'll show you in a minute. And it says, and many of the children of Israel shall be turned to God, to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him. He shall go before him. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And the spirit of the power of Elias. And now this is the point that I want to, and Zechariah says, well, how am I going, whereby shall I know this? Well, you know, how am I going to know this? Because I said so. That's really what he said, whereby am I going to know that my wife's going to have a child? How am I going to know this? He said, whereby shall I know this? I'm an old man. I want you to think about this. I'm an old man, and my wife's stricken in years. And the angel answered and said unto him, I am Gabriel, and that stand in the presence of God, and I'm sent here to speak unto you and to show you these glad tidings. Behold, thou shalt be dumb and not be able to speak until the day these things shall be performed, because thou believest not the words which shall be fulfilled in their season. Now, this man come out. I mean, he went in there as a priest that was able to. But he come out and he was mumbling, and people talked to him and said, "What's wrong with this man? I think he must have seen something in there." But anyway, we find the story continues. And it came, when he came out, he could not speak unto them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them and he said, I can imagine doing that. He said, he couldn't talk. What's the matter with you? Lord God, I want you to think about this. The man couldn't speak. And after these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months. 5 months. Now, why would she hide herself? I want you to think about this. Reason with me. Why did she hide herself? I don't know how old she was. Well, what do they think about Dean Boatswain here, 91 years old, having a baby? What did you say? Well, is anything hard too hard for God? Well, Sarah was 90 years old when she had hers. You know what she did? Sarah's going to have a baby. She laughed. You would too. And I said, well, what would you think? And I said this one time, Mary Cummings, she said, boy, I'd cry. But she hid herself for 5 months. It's kind of hard to hide pregnancy after 5 months, isn't it? I mean, there's just ways that she just kind of gets people get to talking. Now listen, in the 6th month, of Elizabeth's pregnancy, Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Remember what Nathanael said about Nazareth? They said, Nathanael came and just talked to the apostles, and they said, come and see, I found the Christ. Who is he? He's Jesus of Nazareth. And they said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Nazareth was a despicable place. Probably a lot of crime and all kinds of things going on. Kind of like Chicago or St. Louis, a place like, you know, that didn't nothing good ever come out of Nazareth. But let me tell you something. Something good came out of Nazareth. Something good. And there's a thought there that you can think about out of the midst of sin and depravity, out of the midst of evil wickedness comes purity. God sent his son. And this angel was sent to a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. That's why I say this is the most blessed mother of all. I mean, this is the greatest mom ever lived. Why did I say that? Because God blessed her to be that. She was the greatest of all because she was chosen to bear in her body the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior. And when she saw him, she was troubled at this saying, and cast into mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary. You know, that's the message of the gospel. When in your darkest times, sometimes God will come to you and say, I mean, you think about that surgery. Fear not. For God is with you. He said, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. I'm telling you, those are wonderful promises. First of all, his name. And if you have a King James Version, it's all in capitals. This is the word Jesus. It's the same as the Old Testament word Joshua, which means deliverer or savior. His name shall be called, he could have said, his name shall be called Savior. And he's going to say that later on to her husband. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Now, I don't have time this morning. I only got about 6-7 more minutes. But you go back over to the Old Testament and you read one of the most important things that we'll find in the Old Testament is the promises that God gave. Psalms 89 for one. About how that there's going to come a Messiah, there's going to come a Savior into this world, and he's going to be of the lineage of David. He's going to come out of the lineage of David. And so when you look at that from the standpoint, well, how will they ever know who the Savior was? Well, there is you follow the scriptures, and he had to be out of the tribe of Judah. He had to be of the lineage of Joseph and Mary, and I'm not going to get into that, but he said, he shall reign over the house of Jacob. Why Jacob? Why not Ishmael, or why not one of the others? I mean, what's so significant about Jacob? He shall reign over the house of Jacob. I thought he was out of the house of David. Well, if you go back and you look at the genealogy, and there's a genealogy in this third chapter, and there's one over in Matthew, you'll find there was Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The promises of God, he told Abraham, look into the heavens and see. There's the sky, the look at the stars. He said, so shall thy seed be. He said, they shall be as the sands of the sea and the stars of the sky. And he made that promise to Abraham when he was 75 years old. Now, you go down through there and you think about all these promises and talk about faith, the promise. We have promises. We have promises that have been given to us that we haven't seen yet. And people say, well, you know, those promises are just a bunch of myths. They're not really mean anything. You've been saying, and you people have been talking about this Christian religion and the coming of this Savior that you're talking about. It's just all a bunch of mythology. Well, how do we believe it? Why do you believe such a thing as this? How can you believe that a woman had a virgin, had a baby? Impossible by nature. And this is what Mary's problem was. And Mary said, well, how shall this be? How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? I want you to understand something, dear brothers and sisters, this morning. Our entire religion, everything that we believe in this Bible depends upon that one truth. Because if Jesus Christ was the son of the lineage, suppose it says that he was the son of Joseph, if Joseph was his father, then he had, you can trace Joseph's genealogy and it goes all the way back to a man called Adam. And he was a sinner, just like you and I. Jesus was no sinner because he didn't have an earthly father and an earthly mother. She gave him, and I want you to understand that this mother was so special to be able to believe this message was one thing, but to carry this little baby, I mean, it was the normal birth. 9 months she carried this little baby in her womb. But it says, then said Mary, well, how shall this be? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing that shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Imagine, I want you to think about this woman. She was a lovely woman, I'm sure. I mean, God wouldn't have chosen just anybody to bear her son. She was a very godly, special woman. And behold, thy cousin. Now, I want you to think about this now. Here's a, you have any cousins? I have some cousins that was pretty keen. One of them was a kissing cousin I used to have when I was a kid. maybe I shouldn't tell that. But. Did you ever have a kissing cousin? Nah. Well, anyway, we practiced on each other. It was pretty fun. But I love my cousins. Now, here is Elizabeth. Now, I want you to think, listen to this. Behold thy cousin Elizabeth. They were kinfolks. She hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. What's barren? That means no kids. You know, to a Jewish woman, it was a disgrace for her to be barren. I mean, it was a shame to her. Now listen to this. This is encouragement to Mary. Elizabeth's going to have an old age. I mean, a baby. I don't know how old she was, but she was old. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Can you? Is anything too hard for God? This was what they said to Abraham and Mary. I mean, and Sarah, when they were having. Is anything too hard for God? Can God bring? Can God make a baby? Can God make a woman who's not had a man have a baby? And Mary said, behold, I want you to see this, the beauty of this mother. Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto thee according to thy word. I want you to see the faith and the she said, well, why me? I don't want to do this. I want you to think about what she probably may have thought. She is putting herself in big jeopardy. For her to have a child. And it was very serious for a woman to be pregnant before she was married. Not much of a thing these days. But it was a disgrace and it was dishonor. Not only to the husband, but to God. And it says the angel departed from her, and Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country. With haste, a city of Judah. Judah, well, what do you know? Judah was of the lineage. I mean, David was out of that lineage. And entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. I don't know what she said. She saluted her. How you doing, Cousin Elizabeth? Hello, Cousin Elizabeth. I don't know what she said, but she a salute, salutation is a hello. And just at that salutation, and it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. Just at the mention. Now, Mary hadn't been advertising this. Besides that, she was just barely pregnant. She just got started. Elizabeth's already 6 months along. And she spake out with a loud voice. I got a pretty loud voice. But I want you to think about this statement of this cousin Elizabeth. Blessed art thou among women, And blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come unto me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is thy is she that believeth, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. I want you to notice this next verse, and we're going to have to close. There is a theology in the world today that believes and teaches that Mary was the Immaculate Conception, that she was divine. She was not a sinner. And this group of people, they think that Mary, she's called the Holy Mother of God. She is the Immaculate of all women, and she couldn't possibly have been a sinner to bear the Son of God. Trace her genealogy. Go back and look at it. It says, by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death is passed upon all men for all of sin. You say, well, Mary was the exception to that. Not. She had an earthly father and an earthly mother. Therefore, she was a sinner just like you and me. But notice what she says. Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. I cannot imagine the joy that she must have, and the humility that she must have felt to be able to understand that indeed I am with child, and I'm going to have the very Son of God in my womb for 9 months. And my spirit, now listen, my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. If Mary wasn't a sinner, she don't need a Savior. But she rejoiced to say, I rejoice in my God. I magnify the Lord. And my soul doth rejoice in God my Savior. She was bearing in her womb her Savior. Think of that. Awesomeness of that. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. And that's the fact. Mary was a wonderful, godly, wonderful woman that God chose, very special. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He has showed strength within his arms. He has scattered and poured the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich hath he sent away empty. He hath opened his Savior Israel, his servant Israel, in remembrance of his mercy. The word "hoping" there, it's an uncommon word. He hath hoped his servant Israel. The word means he hath helped. The word means he helped him. He has sent him help. Now, I thought I'd get a lot further in this than I did today. But I want you to think about this now. Mary, and I'm going to sum up a little bit and give me just a few more minutes. Mary now is with child. She stays at Elizabeth's house for 3 months. Elizabeth is to begin the delivery of John the Baptist. All right, now Joe and Mary, she goes back down, and Joseph now is back down here in Jerusalem. No, he's not. Is he in Jerusalem? No, he's not in Jerusalem. He's in Galilee in Nazareth, isn't he? Anyway, no, he's not. I'm getting all messed up in my mind, but they are, because if we go back and read, they're down here in Jerusalem and Bethlehem, because that's where Jesus was to be born. Anyway, y'all go back and read this. But the point I'm trying to get to is this. The point I'm trying to get to is this. Here is Joseph, and she comes back from the hill country. Very obvious she's been with another man up there. And I had thought, you know, there's people that just said there can't anything good come out of Nazareth. But Joseph thought, well, you know, surely this woman is a godly woman. But now she comes back from that hill country up there with her cousin Elizabeth. I just don't know what's been going on up there. There's two things. There are two people that knew the truth about this. I'm not sure how far down the road it was, Brother Keith, though everybody began to understand that Jesus was born of a virgin. But you go back, it was prophesied back here. But you go back into Matthew chapter 1, and I'm going to close this. It says, and Joseph was minded, he said he sees her, and he was minded to put her away privately. In other words, he was very discouraged, he was very disappointed in her, and I believe that Joseph was a godly one. It says he was a just man. He was a godly man. He loved Mary, but she comes back with child. And that's a bad thing in a Jewish household. In any household. Especially then, Joe. If he takes her up to the elders up there at the gate and says, it's very obvious this woman's been with the child and it's not mine. And if she's found guilty, what happens? They stone her. Joseph didn't want that to happen to her. But he didn't want to marry her either. He was minded to put her away. That means divorce her. They was his spouse together. To put her away privately so that she wouldn't be a public disgrace. But the angel, the same angel that spoke to Mary, Gabriel, came to him, Joseph, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And this is, he says, is the fulfillment of Isaiah 7 and 14 and all those places over there where it says a virgin shall conceive and shall bear a son. And thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. You know what that means? Emmanuel? God with us. That's what Jesus was, God with us. He was a gift from God. He was given to us. But Mary, all the time that she was bearing Jesus, and the angel said, a sword shall pierce through your heart. Many times she felt that sword. When they rejected him, they spit upon him. They did all that they could to kill him. And here, Mary was there watching this all the way through. And it come down to the last days. They took him. They took him to a court. They put a crown of thorns on his head. They took him out and they beat him. I believe, Sister Joe, if that was your son, you'd feel every one of those stripes against that boy. A sword shall pierce through your heart. But then they take him and they said, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. And they took him down. They took him to the cross. I want you to see, and this is the last point I'll make, with the dying words of our Lord Jesus Christ, he was thinking of his mom. Before he would give up the ghost, before he would die, he says, woman, now I want you to think about this. It says that his visage was more marred than any man. They'd beat him to a pulp. But he says, woman, behold your son. Behold your son. And he looked over there, and I believe it was John. John. He looked and said, behold your mother. And it says that that disciple took that woman and lived. He took care of her. He cherished her. He took care of her as if he was her own mother. And he was, because Jesus said, she's your mother. Now, I don't know what happened to Joseph. But just from that one thing, I am almost sure that Joseph was gone. Because Jesus would not have commended his mother to somebody else if the husband was still alive. So Joseph is not around anymore. And what is my mother going to do? I love my mom. And I want her to be taken care of. John, she's your responsibility. And he bowed his head. He said, it's finished. And he gave up the ghost. But I want you to think about the specialness, how sweet and wonderful that a mother is to a child. And what a blessing it is for us to be together. I've never tried to speak on this subject on Mother's Day. One time, Judy got upset with me. I talked about the total depravity of man on Mother's Day. She said, goodness, honey, couldn't you think about anything sweeter than that? Well, today, I want you to understand that there's something happened to me last night as I was studying this. And I thought about all the wonderful memories of my mom, the things that she sacrificed for me. She had 8 kids. And you know, she always loved us all the same. She said, Mama, who'd you love the most? She said, I love you all the same. Don't you think about Jesus when he was 12 years old? And 12 years old, they'd been up there to Jerusalem and they're heading back home. And they looked around and they said, where's Jesus? You know where he is? Maybe he's over there with one of our friends. They go over there and they can't find him. 3 days. They go back 3 days looking for him. Where is he? This little 12-year-old boy is in the temple over here, sitting in the midst of lawyers and scribes and all these people. And he says they were asking him questions and he was answering them questions. And finally, Mary and Joseph, they come to him and they say, why have you worried us so much? Do you not understand that? And he said this, me and your father. I believe that there was a reverence there to Joseph. He was a stepfather. He was not Jesus' father, but he was a stepfather. He was the legal father of Jesus. He said, don't you understand that your father and I have been worried? I'd put it in my own words, worried, sick. Just for about 30 or 40 minutes, my sister lost her son down in Yosemite, and she went berserk over. She said she was going everywhere looking for her son. She couldn't find him. We had the rangers and everybody on horseback looking for that boy. And finally we got back over there and she was just beside herself. And you know where he was? He's sitting over there at the car waiting for her to come back. She's, where have you been? I've been right here waiting on you. I wasn't lost, Mom. He couldn't find Mom and Dad, so he went back to the car. He said, knew they'd be there. But Mary, she said, I was worried sick over you. And Jesus says, do you not understand this, that I must be up and about my father's business at 12 years old? And he wasn't talking about Joseph. He wasn't talking about going down and working in the carpenter shop. He said, do you not understand? At 12 years old, he said, I came to this world with a mission. And do you not understand that I must be up and about that business of my eternal father? Joseph was his earthly. I don't know. I think he had a love for Joseph, but he had a love for his father that was beyond comprehension. I thank you for your kind attention.